Tonight, we're celebrating an anniversary with our friends from Zanies. Then one of our Cupid players stops by with a bedtime lullaby. But first, Sergeant Paraka gets us ready for boot camp next week. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. And Craig, there's a Marine in our green room. Rob.
He's got his uniform on.
Yeah.
Yes, soldier.
Soldier.
As Rob. I'm going to start getting you
there's a Marine
tuned up right now.
In the green room.
Do we have to do push-ups?
You don't.
Okay.
He had to call me to get a little help with directions, and I kept calling him Sergeant. That's the right thing
yes.
to do, right? Yeah. Thank you, Sergeant.
I don't
yes,
know.
Sergeant?
We will ask. Should you have said Sergeant Paraka? Or should you? Is just Sarge? Can you say Sarge?
I don't know if I can say Sarge yet.
Not yet.
Yeah, I feel like we got to get to know him for Sarge.
We'll find out these. I don't think we have any requirements except to be good Americans and treat him with respect.
Okay. I just feel like I have to call him by his title if I know it.
Yes, that's true. I think, right, that feels more appropriate.
Yeah, right.
More appropriate as opposed to appropriate at all. You either are appropriate or not appropriate. Can you be more appropriate?
Good point.
It sounded like a Chandler question from Friends.
Yeah,
could you be more appropriate?
God, what a good show.
I am in a good mood because I escaped the any sort of drastic weather that was reported to possibly be descending upon our city. I know there are people listening who perhaps had more significant impact, especially on the roads. Weren't there a lot of trouble, I'm guessing, in Indiana, those parts of the area?
Kankakee, Indiana. The snow belt south of the lake.
Very sorry, everybody.
Yeah.
I made an emergency phone call to Rob Martier because
911
wasn't having any of it, Craig. Okay, this is a question. Let's go around the horn. You get to an intersection, there's no traffic lights. Esmeralda, how do you proceed? It's your turn at the intersection.
You treat it like a stoplight or a stop sign.
A stop sign.
Mm-hmm.
You treat it like a stop sign. Norwood Park. Listen, Esmeralda. I'm not even going to go around the horn. You treat it like a stop sign. That's it. Right on the first answer.
I just go.
That's what everybody in Norwood Park did. I was like,
you just book it? What do you
There's
mean?
There's no lights on anymore, you know? All rules are off.
Okay, at Nagel and Northwest Highway, it complete mayhem.
Right.
Just, I was
everybody
like,
everybody go.
You know what? If we're under attack, this neighborhood's not going to make it.
Yeah.
This neighborhood. Okay, there is a.
Well, the people going through the down stoplight will make it.
Well, that's. No, but that was the thing, Rob, was it right? Because the cross
everybody
street.
Everybody stopped isn't
going
to make it.
I was on Nagel, and they were going across. They were getting in the box where many of them couldn't get through the box. Do you know why? Because there's a train that also runs parallel to Northwest Highway. So there were people stopped at the gates. So then now they're blocking Northwest Highway because those cars didn't clear the intersection. But I guarantee you there could have been cars on the tracks they couldn't clear because people were just going willy-nilly. Through the intersection, there was a lot of willy-nilliness, is what I'm saying.
Well, let's try to explain though that stretch of Northwest Highway, and it runs all the way through Mount Prospect, and then all the
yes.
way up into. It's very odd because you have the tracks, three sets of tracks, running parallel with Northwest Highway, but then along most of the stretch, there's also kind of a service road on the other side of it.
Yes.
So you have people that are heading in one direction. There is no stop sign, as you said, so they can continue on through and clear the tracks.
Yep.
But then on the other side, you've got kind of this, you know, confluence of stop signs and then stop lights, and it gets very convoluted.
It was so strange. And then there's a lot of, like, loading docks on that block. But so there were cars just going. Nagel car, like 20 cars are going through. And people are honking, but you're like, there's nothing. Honking is for naught. Because the honk is for, like, hey, you're about to hit me, not like, you shouldn't be going, jerk. There's no specificity to the honking. So I called 911 to tell them that there was a traffic light out. They go, hold on. And they switched me to 311, and I was explaining the situation. She goes, yeah, I think we know about that one. Okay, someone's going to die at that intersection, and all you got is, yeah, I guess so. So I
got somebody working on it, all right?
Because it was out when I started, before I got the doghouse, it was out anyway. Traffic wasn't that bad. So at 10 to 5, I had noticed that it was out. When I left doghouse CrossFit on Northwest Highway at 6:15, so an hour and 25 minutes, there were no squads out there. There's nobody giving any sort of – and they have at some intersections, don't they have like a flippy stop sign so that if the lights go out, you just like – you just kind of flip open the stop sign. It becomes a four-way stop. Why are you laughing?
I just like the motion you're doing in there. Like it's a flippy sign, right?
Right.
Well, yeah, it folds up and then it can
yeah.
fold down.
Yes.
In half.
In the case of emergency, it becomes a four-way stop.
Yeah, but if the light's not on, I don't have to listen to that. Just go right through.
Stop sign. It becomes a four-way stop. Mayhem. Absolute mayhem at that intersection.
Sounds fun. I want to go over there.
But Rob was the only person that would listen to me. I could call him.
No, I listened. Unfortunately, yes. There wasn't much I could do. Northwestern basketball was underway.
Yes.
But I felt your frustration. I shared it.
3-1-1 was my favorite. Yeah.
Yeah. We got it.
Yeah. Thank you. So is anything gonna be done?
Did she sound like one of those people that you're giving a phone number to and they're pretending to write it down, but they're not?
Right. Yeah. And you ask for the number back?
Right. This is the intersection of, I got that one. I got it. Yeah.
What intersection did I say? Tell me the intersection.
Tell me. I don't have to do that. I'm busy. I got other stuff.
Some highway. Nagel. We are going to talk to Sergeant Parayko when we come back, get a little insight into what Carm and I can expect next week, and learn a little bit more about what it is it's like to become a Marine. I'm impressed. More after this on 720 WGN. I didn't do that. And now it's time to wake up and then do this. Oh, I think this is perfect for me to get ready for the... Oh, Craig is ready for Marine Corps boot camp. I wish you could come with us, Craig, because it's going to be a lot of fun. In studio with us, we have... And come closer to your microphone. We have Sergeant Parayko. Am I saying your name correctly?
Yes, ma'am, you are.
Oh, thank you very much. Do women often say, please don't call me ma'am? Because I'm going to accept it from you.
All the time.
Do they say that? Call me ma'am all you want. You got the uniform on? I understand it's a term of respect. We were talking before you came in. Craig and I are wondering, is it appropriate to call you Sergeant, or is it appropriate for us to call you Sergeant Parayko?
Sergeant Parayko works.
So we've both been wrong. We've both been addressing him inappropriately, so we will correct that.
You could say Sergeant, just not Sarge. That's
not Sarge.
That's an Army thing.
Yes, Sergeant?
Oh, Sergeant. We can say Sergeant?
Yes,
we
can.
Okay, all right. So we've been given permission. We've been given absolution. No, I don't think he can do that, but... where are you from originally, Sergeant?
Vancouver, Washington.
It's
okay. A metro near Portland, Oregon.
And how long have you been in Chicago, stationed here?
Just over a year.
And what did you think when you came to Chicago?
Cold.
I think it's appropriate. Yeah, if it's been a little bit over a year, you came, especially last winter, we kind of have one of our polar vortexes.
A little rough.
When did you join the Marines?
Valentine's Day, 2011.
Oh, you remember was there something... significant about joining on Valentine's Day?
Not a thing.
So you have just had your five-year anniversary.
Yes, I did.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
And what prompted your enlistment?
You know, it's a long story, so I'll keep it short for you. I went to go see if the Navy office was open. They were closed because it was a weekend. Marine Corps office was there. I went to go ask what time they opened, and next thing you know, I'm on a flight.
Some very convincing individuals were like, you don't need to go to the Navy office. They couldn't even bother to be there when you needed them. Is that what they said?
I guess so. Well, so I wasn't even going to enlist. I was going for more information. Didn't have a computer, so I couldn't look it up online. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened.
And has it been everything you'd hoped it would be?
Of course.
And are you kind of chaperoning our group next week?
Yes, I am.
So
tell us, make sure everything goes well for you guys.
So tell us a little bit about the sort of program that you have for educators.
So the Educators Workshop is designed for people that have influence over the youth in schools. So
it could
be counselors.
I'm not one of those people.
Of course,
their
parents
maybe.
Show.
There you go. So it's sort of some people that kids look up to in certain environments.
Yeah, so it could be the guidance counselors, the coaches, the principals, the teachers, anyone that the children would, or the students rather, would go to for advice on their career.
Okay.
So,
go ahead.
Yep. So we want to take them down to San Diego, put them through kind of a little 5-day boot camp, educate them on what the Marine Corps has to offer, give them some more tools for their arsenal. So that when the kids come to them for advice, they can provide them with an additional resource.
Well, because, you know, when people might be listening going, oh, well, this sounds like you're just trying to, you know, give people something to kind of shove down kids' throats. But the thing is, a guidance counselor, a teacher, they come with their life's experiences. And this is an opportunity to expand their experiences and go, oh, here's something that is available to the students that I am interacting with.
Yes, that's correct. So we're not here to say, hey, we want you to join the Marine Corps. We're here to say that it's an option.
Exactly. Well, an option that we have before us is Carm's on the line. And when I was at your orientation meeting, I learned that you were possibly assigning rooms to the individuals that would be going along on this trip. And Carm, since he wasn't there, didn't have a chance to pick anybody. Hey, Carm, you have not had the opportunity to meet Sergeant Paraka. Carm, Sergeant.
Pleasure. I have not met Sergeant yet. Sergeant, good to talk to you on the phone. And we have been communicating via phone and via text, Patty, so I do feel like we have bonded at least a little bit to this point, and I'm looking forward to a much deeper connection on our week together.
So tell us a little bit, because I know Carm was not at the orientation. Kind of one of the ways it sounded to me is that you would retrieve us from our homes in some sort of vehicle. I'm just curious about the whole process, because the way it sounded, we were like, it's kind of like when you go to kidnap somebody for a slumber party is what it sounded like.
Of course, tons of fun. I'm going to bang on the door real early
Yes. And
put you in the back of the van.
No, seriously, Craig, I have no idea what time my flight is on Monday. I don't know what the sergeant has planned for me. Do you know, Carm, what time we're leaving?
I know that it's early, Patty, but no, I do not. I was having a minor panic attack about that, but I figured I would just talk to you and you'd make it all better. But
oh yeah,
that's not going to be the case.
No, I'm not here to soothe your fears at all.
So I'll have to talk to the sergeant or other upper level management folks around town that could help me out on this. But I know it's very early, of which I'm very much looking forward to being with everybody early in the day. Nothing like, you know, waking up, perhaps seeing the sun, and getting on a flight to go to San Diego.
Exactly. Well, you know that every day. Now, Sergeant, what time are we, starting Tuesday, what time are we taking the shuttle to our different activities throughout the day?
It'll be around 07.
Mm. So 7 a.m. I thought it was 6. Oh, we get an extra hour. Craig, I get an extra hour. I'm very excited.
Well, you better be up by 0600, though.
Yes, we'll be up by 0600 for morning chow.
Okay, good.
Okay. Oh, we have chow?
Yes.
We're doing chow together?
Of course.
Can you come around and can you have someone blow a trumpet? Can you have someone play Reveille for Carm? I think we should do that.
I agree.
Yeah.
Sergeant, I'm looking to have an incredible week of physical activity. Is that possible?
We can make it possible.
Oh, there you go. He didn't know you had that kind of request.
Well,
I
was most excited about trying to experience actually the level of commitment and the physical toll that it takes to get to the highest level. So that's like the most compelling part. I mean, I want to see everything and take it as much as I can, but I really do get excited about the physical part of it. So if
yes.
you...
How much physical activity are you requiring, or at least hoping from us? Interaction, Sergeant?
Well, as much as possible. It's all optional, to be honest, but Tuesday and Thursday are going to be the physical days. We'll do some obstacle courses, some Marine Corps martial arts, combat fitness test, and a couple other things. I'll leave for
what?
Surprise.
Okay, what's on the fitness test? Like what do you have to accomplish in order to pass on to the next level?
So for the combat fitness test, it consists of three events. The first one is an 880 meter run.
Mm-hmm. What's the time?
So the goal is under 2 minutes and 45 seconds.
Okay. 880 and under 2:45. Okay.
Second event is ammo can lifts. You have 2 minutes to complete 100.
And how heavy are the ammo cans?
30 pounds.
And you have to carry two of them?
Nope, just lift one over your head.
Oh, you lift it over your head, 30 pounds.
Yes.
I can do that.
Can you explain that
100 times.
A little bit?
Hold on, wait. Hold on. Did you hear that part? 100 times?
100 times.
So is it like it's not a strict press. It's not a strict press.
Yes.
It's a strict press, no
yes.
legs?
You can use legs.
Okay. Yeah. It's a strict press. You don't use legs.
Okay.
I'm sorry. What was that, Carm?
I didn't quite understand what the exercise was. What is it? An anvil?
It's
ammo, an ammo can.
So it's like a military
press.
An ammo
can, okay.
So if it were at a barbell, it would be a military press.
Okay, so we've got the ammo cans, we've got the 880 run. What's the third?
It's called maneuver under fire. So it's a...
Karma.
This is serious stuff.
No.
At this point, all of us now accept that Patty's going to nail this next week. She's going to do so well.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God!
Okay, so I'm sorry. It's
is the sergeant smiling, or is he looking at you in horror?
He was a little disappointed, and then he broke a little bit. But I think he's a little disappointed in who he's bringing along.
I honestly can't wait until the sergeant gets a hold of Carm. I can't wait.
Did you say maneuvers under fire?
Maneuver under fire.
Maneuver under fire. So is that a little bit of like serpentine, a little serpentining. Sorry, that's anyone see the movie In-Laws? Okay, that's gonna, the original, not the remake with Michael Douglas. I'm sorry, go ahead. So what is maneuvers under fire?
So maneuver under fire, you'll start in the prone position. They'll stay go. They'll start the clock. You'll sprint to the first cone.
Okay.
At the first cone, you'll do a little J-hook. You'll go down into a low crawl. You'll low crawl a couple meters. Then you'll hit the high crawl. And from the high crawl, you'll zigzag around a couple cones. You'll pick up your buddy. You'll drag your buddy. Then you'll
wait. Let's go to pick up your buddy. How are we picking up our buddies? Is it like an underarm drag?
So you're gonna start with an underarm drag for a couple meters. Then you're gonna put him into the fireman carry.
Oh, so you have somebody else with you to do fireman carry? No, how can you do fireman carry alone? Do I have to do a fireman carry alone?
Carry somebody equal higher weight.
Oh, good Lord. No, that part I can't do.
Oh, my God.
we'll teach you how to do it. It's nice and easy.
Nice and easy. Oh, you're very kind. Karim, how's it sounding to you?
Terrifying, but I like to live right on the edge here, Patty, so this is perfect. This is what I'm talking about.
Karim, can you hold on the line because we got to take a break and do news? Can we call you back and finish
sure.
up? All right, we'll find out more what we need to learn from Sergeant Parikka. Time now for a quick break on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, and I am joined by Sergeant Parikka, who is with the Marine Recruiting Station here in Chicago. And on the line, we have Karim. Karim, does that music get you ready, get you pumped, get you fueled up for Marine Corps boot camp for next week?
It did something for me, Patty. I'm not going to lie. I might actually head out of the street right now and just, you know, take it to the next level.
Good, because here, well, let's recap. Sergeant Parikka, these are the things you told us we might be able to experience as far as the physical challenges. An 880 in under, the goal is 2 minutes 45 seconds?
Yes, it is.
Okay. How you doing, Karim?
I'm doing good. Continue on.
What's 880? Is that a mile?
That's half mile.
Half mile. 880 is a half mile in 2 minutes and 45. Okay.
I think so.
Is that Craig? Can you do the conversion for us? I'm so sorry.
Less Googling. Than a 6 minute mile, Patty. Okay. It ain't happening. Go ahead.
It's a half mile. You can do it.
880 yards, 800 meters.
Okay, 800 meters. We'll get that in a second. Then you.
That would be a half mile.
A half mile.
Yeah, that's correct.
Half mile. I gotta try that out before. Are you doing the hustle up the Hancock on Sunday, Karim?
Yes, Patty, I am.
Okay. See, that'll get you ready. Cardio wise, we're doing about 100 floors. That's even, a half mile seemed like nothing after that. Okay, so then we have 30 pounds ammo.
Yes, 30 pound ammo can lifts.
30 pound ammo can lifts. Now, what's the point of lifting them 100 times over our heads? Just to prove that we can?
Of course, no. it's just to train you for a combat scenario. So if you need to deliver ammo to one of your other, you know, your
right.
other team. You have the strength to do so.
You got to be able to hoist them over your head.
Mm-hmm.
And then maneuver under fire, Karim. Is that the one that catches your attention the most, do you think?
That is interesting, yes. I'm a little bit nervous, but I feel like I can handle it. What do we got to do?
Okay, maneuver. No, there's not anyone actually firing at us, are there?
No,
are we gonna
simulated.
Simulated. So
there's no simulation, but just play it in your head.
Oh, play it in my head.
Yeah.
I kind of am going to need a simulation. I'm going to need someone firing like a starter gun or
something.
I'll
work on my noises.
Yeah. You can see Sergeant Parikka out there with a sound machine and a bullhorn just playing the noises of it. Does that work, Karim? Just do that noise all the time? Okay. All right.
That wasn't that bad. I got you.
I'm not a sound machine
Whatever
person.
Gets you hyped up.
I'm not Michael Winslow. Okay. So this is a physical challenge. Are we also doing anything on the artillery? Are we going to be firing any weapons?
You know, we have in the past, but unfortunately this year they said that we will not be firing.
Oh.
Just because of the training schedule for the recruits, we're not going to be able to make it down to the range.
And they also probably did a background check on all of us.
Someone listened to the show and they thought, wait a minute, Patty's coming. Let's skip that last
something
one.
Something fishy about that.
Oh. I'm sorry to hear that. So no weaponry.
As of the last I heard.
We'll go find out some more. No, I'm kidding, sir. Okay, so but you said martial arts.
Yes, martial arts.
So what kind of maneuvers are we going to learn? It's like escapes, holds.
So I think it might just be a demonstration. I'm not sure if we're going to get to participate.
No hand-to-hand combat for me and Karim?
Maybe.
Okay.
So we're going to learn about the mental, physical, and character disciplines of the Marine Corps Martial Arts Program.
And so what are the characteristics would you describe as far as the kind of training that you do for combat for Marines?
So in the Marine Corps Martial Arts Program, we like to, you know, obviously we train them on the different techniques in the syllabus. Along with that, we need to make sure that they're mentally prepared to execute those techniques under a stressful situation.
Right.
So we never just test them when they're, you know, just showed up. We always put some physical activity into it, get them tired. We call it the fog of war. Try to create that for them where they want to quit. Maybe they feel like throwing up. Then we have them execute the techniques when they're, you know, the most tired.
Right. Because as harsh as that sounds, you know, you're putting men and women into dangerous situations, and you want to know that they're going to be capable of surviving that and doing the job they have to do.
Of course.
Carm, I think that we should put you in a fog situation to the point where you feel like throwing up. Does that sound? I think we need to surprise Carm in the middle of the night with maneuvers.
One of the training items that they use during this is weapons of opportunity. What are some weapons of opportunity? Can you describe some of those?
It could be anything. It could be a baton. It can be
glass
bottle.
By the way, he just looked around the studio.
It could be anything.
That chair. He's looking at the arm of that chair over there.
It could be a rock. It's exactly what it sounds like, a weapon of opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So anything you can get your hands on to defend yourself against the enemy.
Would it ever be a stuffed animal duck? Could you...
Maybe a stuffed bear, but no stuffed ducks.
No stuffed ducks.
No.
Oh, so it's good that Arnold's staying home. In your experience in the Marines, you had to have come across a lot of characters. Do you remember anyone traveling with a stuffed animal? And I think.
What do you mean by traveling?
Like, would someone have shown up to boot camp with a stuffed animal in their bag, in their gear?
I hope not.
Carm, leave Arnold at home, will you?
Well, Sergeant, Patty's painting a picture of me dependent on the stuffed animal, but the stuffed animal is only a part of my home life, and I didn't have any real plans to bring it. Just want that on the record here.
Let's be completely honest, though, Mark, and maybe this will change the sergeant's opinion. If the stuffed animal is wearing full military outfit, is he then welcome?
If he's in dress blues,
yeah,
we can get a waiver for that.
Okay good, wonderful. See, there you go, Mark. So you can bring the duck.
I'll do some extra work for you.
Sounds good.
Well, now I mean we are opening up capabilities here, possibilities. So
I think there's going to be a big push to bring Arnold along to Camp Pendleton. I really do.
I'll have to talk to Arnold about this. I'm not sure if he's up for it. We'll have a discussion. I will get back to you guys very brief as soon as I can, your team.
So we are leaving on Monday for San Diego to travel with the Marine Recruiting Station, the group that is bringing some educators to learn what it takes to be a Marine. And what are the ages? I mean, I know there's a cutoff age to join the Marine Corps, right? But do you tend to get a lot of 18-year-olds who are curious, not sure what they want to do? Maybe they're not ready for college.
I mean, we get all kinds of applicants. Mm-hmm. The age range is between 17 and 24. That's like our hot market, mm-hmm. Where we see most of our applicants, but we accept all the way up until the 29th birthday.
So, up to the 29th, okay.
So they would have to ship to recruit training before their 29th birthday.
Okay. And where is recruit training? Is it how many bases are there across the country?
So we have two. We have Marine Corps Recruit Depot, San Diego. And that's where all males west of the Mississippi River go for recruit training.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Marine Corps Recruit Depot Paris Island, where all males east of the Mississippi River go to train, and all females in the country.
Do we know why that is? Is it just that's kind of the way it's set up right now? There is obviously a smaller number of women who apply for the Marine Corps still.
So I couldn't give you a good answer on
just
that.
That's all right. Yeah. It was not required. You didn't know that was going to come up. Just curious about that. So you trained at in San Diego.
I did.
So, because you were west of the Mississippi. I'm going to go ahead and say that was why, because he was from Washington. I'm doing all the geography stuff here.
That is impressive.
Carm, did you ever think about joining the military?
No, I did not, Patty. That was not something. I was dreaming of, being on the physical level, though, of some of the Marines, the top level ones, of course. So there is that connection, I think, if you will.
Well, now that we are going to this Educators Week, do you feel prepared, knowing what's expected of us physically? We have a little bit of an idea of the schedule, learning about martial arts. What other things should Carm expect?
I'm going to jam in as much fitness before Monday morning. I can promise you that, and we'll start tomorrow at 6 a.m. With my own brand of boot camp that's hopefully conditioning me to not be in shock come Monday.
Well, the good news is you can actually start 8 a.m. because it'll be that will be 6 a.m. San Diego time. I'm just saying.
I'm trying to get ahead.
Then it'll be 4 a.m. San Diego time. Go ahead.
So he could expect to be uncomfortable. So
why is that?
Because you're gonna be we're gonna be greeted by Marine Corps drill instructors.
Mm. Wait a minute, they're gonna be yelling at us?
Oh yeah. I must have left that part out, huh?
When will that be, Sergeant?
Wait, when do we land?
When do we land? We don't know.
12:03.
We don't know when you're retrieving us. 12:03 Monday. So they're going to give us a little taste of what it's like to arrive as a cadet. As a recruit. Is it?
Yep. So we're going to take the bus to the Marine Corps Recruit Depot Tuesday morning, where we'll stop at the Yellow Footprints. I'll leave the rest.
A mystery.
Yeah, mystery. There we go.
I knew you were going to say mystery. There's going to be a lot of hype. Yes, Carm?
I'm wondering, will there be time for socializing, Sergeant, along, you know, like things like Miller Lights and that level of commitment?
He's not at liberty to discuss such things.
In the evening, you'll have free time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes, you'll be able to. You'll be at liberty after about 5 o'clock.
Okay. I mean, you know.
Unless you're trying to take it to the next level, then we can go through some pain if you want.
There you go. Maybe that's when we can find out about going out to the firing range.
Okay. I mean, you know, San Diego's a beautiful place to be this time of year.
If you guys aren't allowed to actually fire any weapons, can we at least give them both a couple Nerf guns and let them shoot each other somewhere?
I can work that out.
Okay, good. Right. Wonderful.
I like that.
Yeah, while everybody else is using the real ones, you guys should get a couple of those really cool Nerf ones.
I think that Sergeant Pareka should just shoot us repeatedly. Every time we step out of line or we're talking too much, he just shoot us in the head with a Nerf gun.
Is there a basketball court anywhere, Sergeant, that we could, you know, one-on-one type of thing?
Why, you think you could beat me in basketball?
Oh.
Well, I don't know. I'd like to find out.
I could touch a rim.
There you go.
I'm 5'8".
Let's see
can you shoot it?
I can.
There you go. Oh, my goodness. A challenge has been thrown down.
I hope there's a court. Let's get it going.
Sounds good.
I'm glad he didn't ask about tennis.
Yeah, well, I also kind of question Mark's strategy here. This is the person in charge of his fitness regime in the next week, and he's challenging him to a basketball game.
Leg day every day before basketball.
do you play a lot of, no?
No. See what happens.
Sergeant, what's your number one sport?
Yeah, what's
your? I'd say powerlifting.
Oh, there you go.
No, well, I will not be competing in that. Yeah. I do yoga, Sergeant.
Oh. So does my wife.
He could not sound more disappointed in you, Carm. Oh, just disgusting. All right.
You gotta have the core. You gotta have flexibility.
See, Carm, if you'd just been going to doghouse with me from CrossFit, you'd be doing some powerlifting already.
I've been slacking on that one.
All right, get some rest because you got to get up in a few hours because apparently you're starting your training tonight. Well, tonight, tomorrow. Be ready.
All right.
Be ready.
All right, guys, I'm excited.
Go get outside and run your 880 right now. Let us know how fast it was. Just go right now. Call us back. Call us back at midnight. Let us know if you got it under 3 minutes. All right, Carm.
Thank you. Okay.
All right, thanks. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Craig, do you think we scared Carm a little bit with...
He was already scared before, so yeah. Yeah.
I think that was
not smart to challenge his sergeant to anything.
I know. He's like, can you play b-ball?
Yeah. You want to go?
You want to do this?
Right.
And Sergeant's like, I can touch the rim. You're all coy about it and stuff. Sergeant Pareka is joining us in the Allstate Showcase Studio. He'll be escorting me and educators from throughout the Chicagoland area, as well as Carm's going to be there, Jackie and Shanae from WGN. We are going to be shooting some video, too. You know, what would you say to somebody who is a young man or woman who's considering a career in the military? What is it about joining the Marines that sets someone apart?
Being the best. Out of all the branches, we just have the most difficult training. We're more about the intangibles that we offer. So we're not trying to sell bonuses or jobs. We're trying to sell being a Marine, having the brotherhood, and doing it for the person next to you.
So it's about the strength of character as opposed to this is what you'll get. You'll get, you know, if you sign and you get this monthly, and when you're done, you get, I mean, there is a transition from the Marines to school if somebody wants to do that path.
Of course. So we like to say the mission of the Marine Corps is to train Marines to win our nation's battles and to return quality citizens to society.
And what have you, what kind of individuals have you encountered, like young men and women that come into your, are they kind of nervous? They're not really sure. Is it, it's probably the whole span of experiences.
Well, it's a little bit difficult to answer because I'm not a recruiter. Mm-hmm. I'm just the public affairs director. But sometimes when I visit the recruiting offices, I notice that people just like to get information. So
yeah. And you were telling me off the air, that's kind of how you ended up in the Marines.
It is.
You were in search of finding out information about the Navy, and here you are in the Marines.
Yeah, that's the way it happens.
Are you a fan of the movie A Few Good Men at all?
I haven't seen it.
Oh, my God. It's probably like being a doctor and watching Grey's Anatomy, by the way. But one of my favorite lines in the movie is Kiefer Sutherland. I think it's Kiefer Sutherland because Tom Cruise is in the Navy, and Kiefer kind of, he goes, "That's all right. You boys give us a ride where we're going." Mm-hmm. He just goes, "Yep, that's about right." Yeah, what kind of guff do you give other branches of the military?
You know, I think that all branches are great, so I don't.
You're not
a
guff giver?
No.
No.
Not at all.
All right, then.
I think we all have our purpose. The Marines are just there to do it the best.
And how long is training? Once someone joins up, they apply. What's the process like?
So Marine Corps boot camp is 13 weeks.
13 weeks?
Yep.
And you're assigned based on how you test, how you, you know, obviously you can apply to different parts, different areas of expertise.
Yeah, so depending on your ASVAB test, aptitude, so whatever you score on that will determine what job you qualify for, and based on the availability of the job, the applicant might have the option to choose.
Okay. But obviously you have very little choice in where you're going to be stationed.
Yeah, depending on the job. I mean, if there's a certain job that is only located in that area, then you're pretty sure you're going to that area. But 9 times out of 10, they'll just give you a top three list. You say, hey, my first choice is West Coast, my second choice is East Coast,
and
my third choice is overseas.
Okay.
And they'll work their best to get you that.
Right.
So I put West Coast on my first choice, and I got it.
There you go.
But there were others that didn't get their first choice.
I mean, when there are so many people and only a certain number of positions. We are hanging out with Sergeant Parega, and he's with the Marine Recruiting Station right here in the Chicagoland area. He'll be escorting me and a lot of educators from around the Chicagoland area to Camp Pendleton in San Diego next week. We're very excited. More after this on 7. I am excited. I'm a little disappointed about not firing a weapon. I'll be honest. I just found out what time I have to be at the recruiting station. I have to be there at 5:45 a.m. on Monday. Carm didn't seem to know that either, so that's fine. That's why I'm having a martini now. It's next O'Hare Airport.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll be fine.
I can come pick you guys up, or
I like that. I like that the sergeant's going to come around and give us, like, carpool us.
No, that's what we're there for.
I'll figure it out. Maybe I'll email you tomorrow.
Okay.
All right. We have in the studio with us Chris and Cindy from Zanies out in Rosemont, one of the best comedy clubs in the country, bar none. Because the thing that makes it the best is the crew, and I know so many of you for so many years, but also the layout. It's a club that was made for comics.
Well, it was designed. It was absolutely designed for stand-up comedy, and one of the biggest compliments we get constantly is the comics saying, "This is my favorite club. This is one of the best clubs in the country," because it was designed for stand-up comedy from the ground up. So.
And even the little things I don't think a lot of other clubs that you were able, because you're there from the ground up, elements like even the candles on the tables. Do you still have it where you turn them on if people want drinks? It's hard to explain to people.
No, because it got to be a real distraction, because people, you know, you serve alcohol, people see
get
a
goofy
shiny thing,
and they want to play.
It doesn't work the way it's intended.
I've seen so many places.
Nice purple lights that you can read, like, they're beautiful. It's
yeah,
great.
It is. Yeah. It's a beautiful, beautiful room. And it's a great, how do you like bartending there? Because it's a nice, it's sort of your own space. It's brightly lit compared to the downtown room. And there's a lot more space as compared to the St. Charles room.
It's really well laid out. It's industrial. It's very high volume. It's just beautifully laid out for two guys to work back there.
It reminds me a little bit of what Vernon Hills, the bar was kind of like there a little bit.
And as you know, anyone that knows anything about comedy clubs, everybody comes in at the same time.
Yep.
Everyone orders their drinks at the same time. Everyone cashes out at the same, so it's got to be
streamlined
for high volume, and that's one thing we really, really wanted to do when we designed Rosemont.
Yeah, and you have the thing is you have a complicated drink menu.
Oh yeah,
and the volume that you have to do now the chocolate martini that you've brought in for us, and thank you very much. for that.
This is my favorite. Yeah, favorite.
That martini would rival anything anywhere.
Anywhere.
Stack it up.
Well, you said it has like five different types of chocolate in it.
It does.
And so you're back there with a high number of drinks, and I know that you get, because this is one club where rarely do I hear anybody going trying to find their waitress. You guys are, and it's partly the layout.
It's
the bartending,
and it's the fact that the girls have the handhelds, so they're on the floor more often. They can take the orders from the floor and just send it to the bar.
Have you ever bartended at all, Sergeant Perk? Have you ever worked in the service industry, serving drinks or waiting tables?
No, I haven't.
I'm not saying it's Marine Corps stressful, but
it's tough.
I think it should be an element of some sort of military training to take the sort of mental abuse that
it's
you
not
get in a restaurant.
Physically abusive, but it's really, really emotionally.
It's emotionally abusive.
I can imagine.
Yeah, I mean, have you ever had a shift where at the end of it, like when you try to go to sleep, you're still serving drinks?
Oh yeah.
You still smell it. You still hear it all.
They do.
Yeah, because it's such a high intensity. It's a weird thing.
You don't just turn it off right away, and you're still working.
Right. It's sensory overload. Yeah.
And everything we do, you do in, it's a concept of the least amount of motion, you know, the most efficient use of space and time that you have to do that many people and craft drinks like we do that is such excellent quality. Like this chocolate martini is just incredible.
Now, how long did it take you to come up with the right blend? Right?
Since I started working there, the recipe was handed to me and I just started, we played with it a little bit. I didn't add much to this one and we've added a few things to it, but I think it's pretty well made on its own.
Yeah, I mean, Cindy, of all the cocktails that I've seen at a Zany's Comedy, and I've been working for Zany's
a lot of cocktails.
I've worked for Zany's.
Yes.
I've worked for Zany's for 20 years. I don't usually say that out loud on the air, do I? 20 years I've been working for Zany's Comedy Clubs.
Oh my God, so since you were like 4?
Exactly.
Yep,
thank you very
exactly
much for
correct
playing along. We all appreciate that very much. Actually, the sergeant has a pretty good idea how old I am, so let's not play. He came in, I'm like telling him the truth. Back when I was in high school, I went to the Air Force recruiting office over on off Milwaukee Avenue in Lawrence. I did, that's where it was. For 20 years I've worked for Zany's, and you have your you know, the Mai Tais and the margaritas and all those, you know, and they have like the blue ha-has is what we've, a lot of the names. What, by the way, what is this one called? Just chocolate martini?
Chocolate martini.
See, elegant.
It doesn't have a fancy, weird,
Zany's
like,
name.
Most of our drinks have, like our specialty drinks have comic names.
I know. If my sitcom goes, I'm going to not
there
only demand to be painted on your
Vasquez
mural on the wall, but I also, I mean, I may, I'm just saying.
But you know,
I don't know, but a Vasquez, a Patty Vasquez would have to actually be an Irish-Mexican cocktail, wouldn't it?
I have it already.
It would have to be.
I already know
we
what it is.
Have
yeah
one.
Yeah.
I already know
do
what
know,
it is.
The thing is, it used to be the comedy was enough. Comedy clubs way back in the day, a shot and a beer, and the comedy was enough. Now I think comedy clubs in general have elevated to an entertainment experience, a
right
night out, which is what we want. We want, you know, not only a great show, but great cocktails and food, and we want a great experience.
Well, and it's funny because you have at your club this week such an old school Chicago comic, Kenny Rogerson, right, at your club.
Yep.
And so it's funny that you say that the entertainment experience has been elevated, right?
Right.
And he has seen the entire gamut of the experience, whether it's, you know, it's CD bars, and I've performed in nightclubs with a light up dance floor, and like people didn't know a comedy show was going to break out.
Right.
But it is interesting because comedy, stand-up comedy goes through, there's an ebb and flow to it, right? And you had that period where all the comics always wore suits or at least a blazer. So it's funny that right now the experience of consuming comedy is a little more elevated when the comics like dress low, you know, like it's like hoodies and gym shoes and jeans.
This week we have Vince Moranto, who always
wears a blazer, yes.
And Kenny wears a sport
coat,
who's
old school,
too, because he's old. All the old school guys wear the jackets, because the rule is you really should dress better than your audience.
Did I say that the other night? I always try to dress.
That's the
rule. I try to dress as well as the best dressed person in the audience.
Well, and let's be honest, these people have paid money for an entertainment experience. So I agree, and that's when I judge these contests and go to these festivals. That's what I always tell the younger, newer guys is that. You know what? This is a huge thing, and you look like you just finished mowing your lawn.
But they're idols. See, their idols dress like crap.
Daniel Todd.
Louis C.K.
Yeah,
I mean, and they're funny, right? Because they let their comedy stand on their own. But their idols dress like crap. They wear jeans. They wear raggedy T-shirts. I mean, you never see Louis C.K.
I would like to see if Louis C.K. always dressed like that.
Yeah, I would say that he did. I mean, when I worked with him, again, I've done this for a long time. Maybe, maybe a button-up shirt. He might have worn a blazer and jeans, but yeah, it was always...
You remember when you were five at the comedy clubs? That's amazing.
Really I opened for Louis in 1999.
You know, but I agree. It should be, you know, old school. Vegas, all entertainment. They wore tuxes. They wore...
You ain't going to convince these kids of nothing.
You should really dress better than your audience.
I know.
That's how I've always... But I'm old school.
And I know Bert feels the same way, too, when he sees the comics get up there. But then, and then Bert will be the first to tell you he doesn't know what's going to be the next big thing. You wouldn't, you know, you would never guess some of the people that...
Well, that's, you know, the next big thing... we've had a couple next big things, and I'm like, I've never even heard of this. Like, the internet and social media
has really provided a space for everybody.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, yeah, it's crazy.
So, will you tell us, Chris, the secret ingredients, or is it too secret?
That one, I'm not gonna give it up. Some of it. The base is a chocolate vodka.
Okay.
Because we do make the best chocolate martini in the tri-state area, if not the country.
This one is its proprietary blend. And we've added and changed it a little bit. And last night I must have poured a half gallon of it. Oh. And it was really, really good. It's one of our top sellers. I'm sure it is. It's one of the ones that goes out. It's most requested. And everybody loves it. There's not one person that's ever said anything bad about it. It's just delicious.
Yeah, I mean.
And I will tell you that whenever I travel, I always go places and I ask for a chocolate martini.
Trying to see how they stack up against yours.
And I've never, ever had one as good as ours, ever.
Look at that. Well, you have to go check out Zany's for the cocktails and for the funny.
Yeah.
Yes, Chris?
I would say the closest one you could come to this that I've had would be in Tokyo.
Oh.
It's still not as good as this.
That's a long, long way to go, my friend,
closer
to try their martinis.
Yeah, you're going to have to go all the way around the world to have it.
Craig, have you tried the chocolate martini?
Not in Tokyo. Here it's very good. This one is very good. Yeah.
Would you say that you're a sweet, like, do you like sweet cocktails?
Oh, I love sweet everything. You know, like, I love candy. This is great. This is alcohol with other things that I love. So this is great.
It's
and it doesn't
all
taste
alcohol.
Super sweet.
No, it doesn't.
But it's very smooth because I'm not a strong drink person. These are very strong, but they don't taste like it.
Yeah, and that's incredibly strong.
Hopefully I'll be able to continue the rest of the show. But
well, we'll see.
you put syrup on the glass, right?
I did, yeah.
Usually when I have a cocktail that has syrup on the glass, as I'm drinking it, it continues to stay on the glass. This has blended with the cocktail.
Yeah, it does.
I don't know what you did there.
As they warm up, it'll melt into that too.
That never happens.
But each of those chocolate martinis, each of the little designs with chocolate sauce on the glass are all individual.
Yeah, I know. I saw some hearts in there.
It depends on who it goes to.
Depends on my mood. Depends on who it goes to.
I've had some really X-rated things
stuff
on my
I was going to say.
Classic.
Oh, go to Zany's and Rosemont and see what secret message you get. More with our guests after this on 720 WGN. Oh, look, it's a special song just for Esmeralda. We will party. We have a full studio right now. We have Sergeant Perega, who's with the Marine Recruiting Station here in Chicago. We have Cindy at Zany's in Rosemont. We have Chris, the bartender extraordinaire. Well, Cindy is the general manager, CEO. What are you, president?
Let's go with CEO. Yeah, let's do that.
Chief Executive Operating Officer.
This is late, right? Bert's
not up.
I'll go with CEO.
Yeah. CEO. Zany's and Rosemont. General manager. And also Chris, who is the bartender extraordinaire, always has my cocktail waiting for me. You know, it's nice and sad when the bartenders know exactly what you drink and how many you'll have.
It is nice.
Well, that's part of our job.
I know.
You have to know.
But my listeners know what I like. It's a little Grand Marnier before my show. I don't know.
Yeah, you've been heated a Grand Marnier girl
heated glass
for a long time.
It used to be Sambuca.
A million years ago was Sambuca. Oh, my God. That's how old I am.
I think a million might be stretching it just a little bit. But
that's how old I am.
It used to be, Sambuca. It's too thick. It's too sweet.
Yeah.
So, but just a little. And it's not, with ice, it goes down too easy.
You made me try Sambuca once.
And did you like it? You hated it?
It's
licorice.
Like cough syrup or
licorice. It's licorice.
I love licorice. I like ouzo. It reminded me of ouzo.
It is. It's like ouzo.
And it's probably the same thing.
I don't drink it anymore.
Yeah,
I was a child. We were children at the time. Andy Worsham joined us in studio for a chocolate martini.
Oh, yes, and it is delicious.
Isn't that
let
nice?
Me say.
Yes. He'll be doing the bedtime lullaby in just a little bit. Nice. Cindy, you have one of your, I didn't get one of your postcards for what you have coming up. I know April Macy's coming up in
April
the next.
April Macy is coming up, and John Caparulo.
Oh, Kevin Bozeman. Oh, yeah.
Bozeman, of course, is so fun. Speaking of liquor.
Yeah. Oh, Ross Bennett's going to be there. John Caparulo. I saw such an interesting fight break out between two comics in a green
John
room one time.
Caparulo. Oh, no, okay.
John Caparulo and Henry Cho.
Twitter fight.
No, Henry Cho.
Twitter fight between John Caparulo.
Caparulo's got a temper. He's got
He does. Like, he's always been amazing to me. He's been a very sweet man and a great man. But from what I've heard, he has quite a temper.
He has such a temper. It was very uncomfortable. Because Henry Cho, you know, is one of the more mild-mannered guys. These two guys were going at it in the green room.
Really?
We were shooting the TBS Just for Laughs Festival. You know, remember we did the TV?
Well, but Caparulo, that's the one time I ever saw him flip out was during the TBS shooting because he was holding the mic too long.
Well, this happened. So they stopped his recording.
Right.
After the fight. The fight happened before that. The argument up in the green room happened before. So he
was
already riled. Yeah, he was riled. But he was holding the microphone down by his belly. So in order to pick up a comic, they need for the
stew.
Right. But and I don't know what he's used to, but I mean, just follow the directions.
Well, we normally raise.
Can you imagine, Sergeant? Like, you tell someone like to hold the rifle like this, and they're like, well, that's not how I like to hold it. That's going to be a problem, isn't it?
It's going to be a bad day for him.
Well, exactly. Plus, like, the monitor kept saying, hold mic higher, hold mic in red. Like, and I guess he just didn't look at the monitor. And then the voice of God came in and stopped the taping. And it's not a good thing when comics have to go up and repeat 3 minutes in front of the same crowd. Yeah. So it didn't really go well.
No. It was a stressful week. There were things, I've told the story on the
and
air.
Remember how hot it was? You comics, we had
so
to keep
hot.
You in the cooler, like
not
in the
just
freezer
that.
Before they went
Cindy,
up.
Cindy, you know, I will try to find the link to to my interview because they had us interview in a condo, in the comics condo. And there was no air conditioning in this condo.
It was so hot.
And they had to keep the lights off. Like, they only had the shoot lights on. So, they kept having to come over and, blot me because my makeup was just dripping off of my face. You know, and, you could see, my hair's, plastered on the sides.
Well, it was funny. That day, I remember Rocky Laporte was there, too. And because you bring your shirt and you bring your clothes that you're going to wear. And then you go on stage, before anything's done. And the voice of God director goes, all right, that's good. Yeah, wear this. Don't wear this.
Yeah.
Well, whatever Rocky Laporte had brought with him to wear, the guy's like, no, that's not going to work. Rocky's going to kill me. Nobody listens, right? We're good?
Number one overnight radio show, over 100,000 people.
Sorry, Rocky. Rocky and I ran to Walgreens. The Walgreens over by the Zanies. He got a brown T-shirt, and then he borrowed Dwayne Perkins' maybe army green jacket.
And Dwayne's a smaller guy than...
Yeah, not his look at all, but they're like, no, that's good. And
Rocky.
He wore a $2 Walgreens T-shirt. And
I did not know that. Did
brown shirt and a tiny coat. Yeah.
Did they air his? Because they didn't air all of ours. Because they didn't, you know who's they didn't air?
Who?
Was Hannibal's. Do you remember that? They ended up using only half of the... They ended up only using half of the comics to air for TBS. I know.
Yeah, that was... I remember it was really warm, and I remember I was in charge of putting the comics in the cooler, in the walk-in cooler, before they went up. All right, go in the cooler, because they had to cool down before they went up, because it was really hot out. Yeah. It was ridiculous. It was a fun day.
It was very fun.
Medians get really sweaty.
And so we put them in the walk-in cooler, and then I would go, just stay here. And then I would go, okay, you can come out now. And then they would go on stage.
That was my very first television appearance was with the TBS Just
it
for Laughs, which
though.
Was filmed at Zany's. It was a lot of fun. Have you had chocolate martinis before, Andy?
I've never had a chocolate martini before.
And you will now.
When I saw it in the glass, it reminded me of what the Arby's Jamocha shake looked like.
Ooh.
And that used to be my favorite thing.
And how's
world.
It turning out for you?
And it tastes a lot better than the Jamocha shake.
Now this is your new favorite thing in the world?
Nice. And Sergeant, how would you rate your experience with the chocolate martini from Zany's?
Absolutely wonderful.
Isn't that good?
Yes.
And he's not required to say that.
First one.
You've never had chocolate martini either?
Never.
Guys usually don't have chocolate martinis.
We have to get one. Esmeralda, can we put one in the freezer for you so when you're walking out?
In a walk-in freezer?
In the walk-in freezer.
We'll put you in the freezer with
it. No one puts Esmeralda in the freezer.
It's bedtime lullaby from the Cupid Players.
Put your hands together for the Cupid Players. Written by the Cupid Players. Edited by the Cupid Players. Performed by the... I'm not reading this big stack of Cupid Players papers. Let's just get on with it. Here they are.
So Andy is one of the many talented performers with Cupid Players.
One of many. There's many. Many talents.
Just two or three. The rest of them... I'm teasing. They're all very talented.
We all have like two or three talents.
Which that seems enough. Accurate. Yeah, that will suffice. So every Saturday night they perform Cupid Has a Heart On. Yeah, that's less subtle that way. That's much less. He can say that, right? I think he did.
Yeah, he did.
He
that's
did.
Fine.
He's
okay. The heart to what now?
We were no. Heart on. He has a heart on. So every week or every other week, we invite the Cupid Players to play a bedtime lullaby because some people are trying to go to sleep, Andy, for
That's
the love
right.
of all that is good and well in the world.
We need to get our rest.
Get some rest. So for those of you who need to go to sleep, you know, just make sure you we should have given you some time to get your warm milk, maybe a cookie, which isn't really smart to have warm milk and cookie by your bed because then you got to floss and you got to brush again. And
you can have a cold chocolate martini instead.
That's better for sleep.
Well, it just so happens.
It's way better for sleep, I guess.
It is. It does something. So generally, the lullabies from Cupid Players are based on topics in the news. Do you just want to play it and we'll learn as we go, or do you want to tell us?
I'll just say that it's not really a very... you know, right at the top of the list topic of the news.
Because I asked him, Craig, he came in, I go, oh, do you have something about the iPhones? And he goes, no. Oh, how about Trump? And he goes,
yeah, I asked him for Trump as well. He said, no.
Because sometimes the hot issues are just too hot.
Guess what? Nobody wants to hear about Trump before they try to go to sleep.
Exactly. Oh, good point. And I apologize. Erase that from your memory then.
So this is something that's current in pop culture and news and current events.
All good.
That's a cool new thing that everybody likes.
Okay. Oh, I like liking.
Do-da-do-dow. Do-da-do. Back in high school, I looked kind of weird. I wore suit coats and hoodies all of the time, and I didn't have a beard. But girl, things change. I've become the man you want me to be. You just picture me shirtless, not on my iPhone, chopping mahogany. Chop, 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 chop. Chop, 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 chop. Baby, we might be too much for you to handle. You're entranced by the chest hair that is peeking out of my flannel. And baby, I got a piece of lumber you want to taste. And in the morning we'll drink some coffee and eat a big old stack of pancakes. A big old stack of pancakes. So step aside, dudes, with your skinny ties and your skinny jeans. Cause what the ladies want now is a guy who eats red meat and kinda stinks. Well, what you think is sexy? I mean, it's 2016. And ladies, don't you want a little lumber sexual healing? Do-da-do-dow. Do-da-do-da-do-do-dow. Do-da-do-dow. Do-da-do-do-do-do-dow. But if I'm telling the truth, underneath this manly facade, I love eating sushi, love eating salads. That Mariah Carey song is like my favorite song. I own a lot of Old Navy. If I'm broke, my parents, they got my back. But you don't know that, so girl, tonight, let me be your lumberjack. Step aside, dudes, with your skinny ties and your skinny jeans. Oh, what the ladies want now is a guy who eats red meat and kinda stinks. Well, what you think I'm sexy? And in 2016, it's now. All you want is a little lumber sexual healing. Did I do dow? Did I do da do do dow? Did I do dow? Da da do da do da da.
Woo! I like it.
A little lumber sexual.
It's quite a lullaby.
Yeah, I.
Sweet dreams.
Sweet dreams.
By the way,
his chest hairs will be keeping you awake at night.
That did a do Dow. Isn't that from some other song of some kind?
That's my favorite Mariah. My favorite song is the Mariah Carey song.
Got it. All right. I thought you were referencing that.
You'll always be my baby. Did a do Dow.
Thank you.
Oh, it's such a great song.
That's what it is. Yeah. That was it.
Who doesn't love that song?
I don't, but that's okay.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I loved your song.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thanks.
Yeah, I don't need to love something else to love you.
Oh.
They're not exclusive.
I know. Love is just love.
Love is just love. all your flannel.
I know. I specifically put on a flannel just
and
for the show.
I was going to say, listeners, if you could see him.
We'll make sure.
Flannel, hat.
And ukulele. Man. That all seems to go together very well.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Lots of lumber tools.
Perfect.
Now, when you guys construct songs for the show,
uh-huh.
It's a collaboration, right? Or do you kind of come in and go, well, this happened to me, let's do a song about this?
Well, every year the Chicago Sketch Comedy Festival happens. Mm-hmm. And so every year we at
wait,
least
did I,
write...
Do I have a picture of you trying to do something to yourself? Were you
wait,
in that group?
Wait, what?
Yes.
I am in that group.
Hold on, let me find that picture.
It's
hold
on
a
second. Internet. Time we've all
yeah.
seen it.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Great.
Okay, I don't think the sergeant needs to join in on this.
No,
I apologize completely.
Look his microphone.
But no, you don't have to jump in on this one. I don't know if Chris wants to either. But the Cupid Players have a song, and you were the one playing the guitar. You didn't have to try it. Were you one playing, or who was playing?
No, he tried. He
oh no, yeah, it's Chris who plays the guitar and sings. Yeah. And
oh, it was Chris Gorton. That's right.
We're all just the man ensemble.
Okay, how would you, in delicate terms, explain what he theorized that every guy has tried to do what?
Well, it's whole song is the idea of he has so many accomplishments and so many great things that he's done, except for one thing he's just never been able to do, and it's something that all men have tried.
But see, no, but see, there
and that Ron Jeremy's been able to do. Correct?
There is a point of contention. With
There's a point of contention.
He puts out there.
Yes, Craig contends that not all men do.
Yeah,
not
all
men have tried.
Everyone else talked to me about it, and I was like, I've never tried that.
Oh, there you
before.
Go.
Yeah, see,
there you
exactly.
go.
And everyone's like, why not? And I'm like, it's.
Yeah, even if you were capable,
it's
I would still not. No, it's not just that it's unattainable. Even if I could do it, I wouldn't have as much interest as some seem to have.
I know, yeah.
I don't know.
Even if I could, even if you removed a couple ribs and pulled it off, not really sure.
Still not, still wouldn't want
Chris,
it.
You're saying no, that's not something you would ever try to do?
No. I mean, my back doesn't fit that way.
but not even like the ability to accomplish that, but also the desire doesn't
there
seem
There's no
to...
desire is what yeah some yeah. of us may think.
Yeah.
And of course what we're talking about is clipping our toenails. We just let them
Let me see
let
if I can
grow.
Find that picture of Vanny trying to reach himself. Yeah, clip his toenails.
Yes, it's a way that men reach themselves.
Reach themselves.
That's a good way of putting it.
It was really delightful. There's Sarah Barnhart. She's coming in the studio as well.
Oh, dancing around in the window.
She looks very
just
excited.
I like that they stand in the window. From now on, I'm going to need every guest that shows up to the showcase
just
studio.
Just make every guest
just
stand there and
wave.
Before they come in. That's like the green room right there.
Let me in.
It's so cold out here. Oh, I'm so glad it wasn't a big... snowy disaster, at least
yeah,
not in Chicago.
To be
I know,
horrible.
It's not at all.
There's not even any snow on the street.
It
there's
looks
nothing.
Damp. It looks damp. Mm-hmm.
It looks like it rained. Mm-hmm. It drizzled a little bit.
It did. It was a smattering of snow. Smattering. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening pretty late. Let's stop right there before we get in any sort of trouble, licensing and otherwise. And also, it's Mariah Carey.
Yeah, and just personal taste.
Also, that's
Let's
happening.
Get rid of that.
Although, you know what? As soon as she started singing, like we all started dancing in the studio. So,
see, it moves people.
Yeah. Sergeant Parikas said that was his favorite song when he was in kindergarten.
It was.
I kind of see the sergeant, you know, in kindergarten mm-hmm. playing Duck Duck Goose, listening to Mariah Carey. I like that. I like that image very much. Yes. Joining us in the studio, we have Andy Orslin from Andy Orslin, right?
Yep,
I'm
that's
saying
right.
Correctly.
Oh
you.
Yeah, you say it right.
Of Michigan, he hails from the great state of Michigan.
I hail.
Hail! The Honorable Andy Orslin from the great state of Michigan joins
How
us.
How now?
is in the Allstate Showcase Studio with us. He's with Cupid Players every other week, I think, now. Because we you know, had to take a break during Sketchfest mm-hmm. to make sure you guys had time to do that. Now you're back and regularly playing lullabies for us.
Oh, yeah.
We also have Chris and Cindy from Zany's. Chris is the bartender genius, mixologist extraordinaire, who has brought us chocolate martinis. We've shared one with Sarah Barnhart now, who joins us in studio as well. We'll be catching up with her about her show at the Whip Theater in Edison Park. Cindy is the general manager at Zany's in Rosemont, and
demoted
you have a
from CEO.
Yeah, I'm sorry, not demoted. We're just not sure if Bert's awake or not. Who's Julian McCullough? I've never heard of him.
Do you know what? He's a new guy. It's his first time through on the Zany's circuit, so I'm looking forward to seeing him.
He'll be there March 3rd and 4th.
He will.
Sort of bookended by Kevin Bozeman, who's
Kevin
there.
Kevin Bozeman is bookending it, so anything Kevin Bozeman bookends has got to be amazing.
Ooh, by the way, Doug Benson will be there. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to yell. Will be there May 5th and 7th.
Do you know what? Doug Benson, the first year we were open, Doug Benson, like our first full year, the first May we were open, he was there Cinco de Mayo, which just
oh, really?
Was a coincidence. After that, because we have Adobe Gillis in the MB Park there, after that, Doug said, can I make it a tradition that I do every Cinco de Mayo in Rosemont? And as you know, Cinco de Mayo is not a great comedy club night. It's a great bar night.
Right.
It's not, and I said, absolutely, of course you can. So he has done every Cinco de Mayo so far since we've been open. And this Cinco de Mayo, already May 5th, is already sold out.
There you go.
Sold out for a
well,
week.
Well, once you make it a tradition.
May 6th,
there you go.
We're going to add another podcast. He's fun.
Very cool. So that's
ton of fun.
Coming up in May is Doug Benson. We'll see if we can get him on the show as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And April Macy is coming up.
She's
had her on the
adorable.
Show. She is.
She's so great.
March 3rd through April 2nd. Some great shows. I'm trying to figure out which show Sergeant Pareka should go see. I'm gonna say Kevin Bozeman for various reasons, just because I know Kevin very well, and
Kevin is always a crowd pleaser.
Everybody else I don't really know as well. Ross
April
Bennett,
Macy, but Capanera's back.
Capanera would be great, for, especially amazing. As a great Chicago comic. I think Bozeman, though, out of everybody, if you can't go see
Bozeman
Benson.
Is always, always, always a crowd.
These are all great comics. Look at these two of the sketch comics are sort of talking over in the corner. Just like, what?
Wait, I was
what?
Just marveling over this chocolate wonderfulness
amazing,
that is in my
it?
Cup.
It's
That's
really
usually
good.
What happens.
I don't like martinis, but I just.
Neither do I.
I just
Until
changed
this.
my ways.
There you go.
Thank you.
All is right with the world. Andy, so the next song that you have, you've decided to stay away from Trump and iPhones, which are the big mm-hmm. news stories. You're going with more general themes,
yeah,
right? Because you did last one was lumber sexual, mm-hmm. which and looks like, and I think
theme.
It might need a little bit of explanation to some people who don't even realize that that's because I was one of the people that went, what's a hipster? I saw the script for the pilot episode of Two Broke Girls before it came out. So I was reading it, and I was like, I don't get this hipster joke, because it was 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh, okay. And I feel like the lumbersexual is like a different thing than the hipster. It's an evolutionary thing for
right?
the hipster.
It is.
Yeah,
it's sort of an offshoot.
Yeah, because hipster, I think, is more about like style, and then lumbersexual has kind of like turned it on its head and is like, well, what, if, like, you know, this is kind of like we don't care about style at all. We just have like our flannel shirts. And
right. That is their style.
I mean, obviously.
And then that's just the, and you know, it's become this new style. And then the dad bods are so popular now, people don't want to.
let's slow our roll on dad bods are popular.
they're popular amongst a certain demographic.
I think dad bods are very.
Although, have you seen the cover of Sports Illustrated, the swimsuit
no,
issue?
She's
stunning.
What's called a plus size model is
right.
on the cover. But she's not a
she's
plus size model.
Stunning.
Yeah.
She's really
amazing.
Gorgeous. Yeah, really beautiful.
You
but
know, by the way, dad bods do take a lot of work. You have to drink almost every weekend.
I know.
There's a lot to do.
Sergeant Pareka, as a dad and a current Marine, you have to maintain a certain level of fitness. Do they keep testing you throughout the course of while you're still serving? Do you have to like certain
once you hit
mile...
sergeant, are you good?
Every 6 months at minimum.
Every 6 months.
At minimum.
So you cannot afford to have a dad bod.
No,
you're not going that direction.
Well, we have a different kind of dad bod.
And it's just fine.
Nice.
That's completely appreciated.
Petty or flushing?
I know. I did, really did. I got a little. I know. He said, I'm sorry. What? So lumbersexual is, you know, flannel shirts, the knit caps, that kind of, and beards
yeah.
traditionally.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And this next song, though, is a completely different subject. And it's actually not even written by me.
Oh.
It's actually written by a member of the Cupid Players, Runjit Sowry, who has been with Cupid Players since the very first show, since Cupid Players started. And this coming Saturday is going to be his last show in the regular Saturday show.
After 15 years.
And so it's going to be huge change. And we're going to have a special little thing happen after our Saturday show this Saturday at 8 o'clock at Stage 773.
Go to stage773.com for information on tickets for the 8 o'clock show.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, we invite just a lot of friends of Runjit's or friends of the show to come and just kind of help toast Runjit's time on the show. And so the song that I brought in here is a song of his that hasn't been done since, or it looks like it says March 2008.
Oh, let's see what was happening in March 2008 in Runjit's life. Let's see. Let's see what you've decided to go with. Here with an ode to Runjit, and one of his masterpieces is Annie Orschlin of Cupid Players.
I see her on the CTA. Or at the beach on a summer day. There she is at a traffic light, at a bar on a winter's night. She's a trainer at my health club. She's a waitress at an Irish pub. Every few minutes I see her again, in line at the White Hen. And me, da 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 da. Da 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 da. There she is in the park, at the Walgreens after dark. She works at the flower shop. She's waiting at the bus stop, riding her bike on the lakefront with her friends on a scavenger hunt. 4th of July, she sits on the grass. She's a student in my improv class. And me, da 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 da. Sex is probably fun. Sex is probably fun. I'll bet that sex is fun. Sex is probably fun. Sex is probably fun. I'll bet that sex is fun. Speaking hypothetically.
I was wondering where you're going.
Yeah, Craig and I are like, maybe there are lyrics that they didn't have access to.
To be honest, yes. I was also really brought in by the lovely da-da-das.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking,
they were beautiful.
I felt like it was a little bit of vamping for maybe Runjit had some secret lyrics there that he did not share with everyone.
No, it's just the da-das.
Did he write those out, da-da-das?
Every single da-da's written out. And I learned playing the song that the chords to the last part are the same chords to the song One. One is the loneliest number.
Oh.
One is the loneliest number that you'll ever do.
Everyone?
It's the same chords. Yeah. Everybody dance.
Everybody dance. So the ode to, what are they calling the show on Saturday night for Cupid? A special title for Runjit?
No, I think it's just going to, it's just his special finale show, but it's a special goodbye Runjit show.
Why is he leaving? Just tired of you people?
No, I think that he's... I think that just after doing the show, every Saturday, it's like so much fun. But I think that he's, partially like ready to let some other like newer people like fully immerse themselves in it. And so, right. and he
the
just
next
has
generation,
a lot of other stuff
that
going
stuff.
On.
All right.
Yeah.
Fine.
But it's super, I know that it's like super hard for him because he loves the show so much.
It's gotta be hard for everybody else too. Plus that person that takes, now are there several openings?
I know, and his jokes in the show are so great, and we're not gonna, we're gonna have to find new ways to hit those same marks.
And how hard is that person gonna, the time to fill that shoe, those shoes is impossible.
I know,
do you audition for, like, is it like right away, like Sunday there's auditions for his spot, or is it already filled?
Well, I mean, we have like a pretty tight ensemble, and I don't think that we're going to, try to audition, a new run jam.
Someday we're like, all right, finally, he's gone. Now we're going to fill this slot.
See what happens with us without him and moving forward. It's going to be really interesting.
Well, there you go. We'll catch that show. That is this Saturday night at 8 p.m. at Stage 773. Mm-hmm. Go to stage773.com for information on tickets and all their other shows. Every Saturday night, Cupid has a heart on. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Andy's like, do I stay? Do I go? I'm not really sure what my role is here right now. You can stay if you want to. Sandra. Now I'm getting the first name wrong. Sarah Barnhart is in studio with us. She is performing This Is the Worst at the Whip Theater in Edison Park. Shows are on Friday and Saturday at 8 o'clock. How was Saturday night?
Saturday night was a lot of fun.
Excellent.
Had a good crowd.
Yay. Anyone that said, I heard you on WGN?
No.
Go tell her you heard her on WGN.
Yeah.
Everybody said.
Talk to me afterwards.
Yes, absolutely.
Because I think we're going to give away some. I don't think. We're going to give away some tickets.
All right. 312-981-7200. Let's see. What should be the question? Let's see. Do we go with people who've been listening since the beginning of the show? And they have to name one of the physical challenges that Sergeant Pareka told us we are going to endure during our Marine Corps boot camp.
Okay.
One of the three. There are three challenges. Just name one of the three.
Or describe one, somewhat.
Yes, exactly.
Give us a vague description.
312-981-7200 by phone or text.
Or tell us the last thing you physically did. That was an exercise.
Do we want to know that, though?
No. That was an exercise specific.
I did a strict press.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
You win tickets.
I do win tickets. You did stairs. There you go.
I walked up the stairs.
Excellent.
To my apartment.
How many flights?
It is technically, I'm on the third floor technically, but it's almost four flights.
Do you want to do the Presidential Towers with us? The Fight for Air Climb coming up in a week?
Absolutely not. Thank you for
the invite.
All
right, you're welcome.
We saw you jump out here, though. You jumped up and down out here. We saw you.
That's a level surface.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It was a vertical jump. Hey, we have a listener that has called in. Let's see. Hey, Chuck, how are you doing?
Good. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you as well. What can you name one of the three physical challenges that Sergeant Pareka says I will have to endure during our Marine Corps boot camp?
Yeah, Sergeant said a 30-pound ammo can over your head 100 times.
There it is. Exactly what? Correct. Can you go to Edison Park on Friday or Saturday?
Absolutely.
Oh,
yeah, you can. You have
so
to
cool.
come say hi afterwards so that we know that you can.
Exactly. Craig will get your information. Do you think I'm going to make it through boot camp, Chuck?
You will do fine.
We'll see about that.
Yeah, we'll see about that. Yeah. Now you're going to change the requirements. Thanks a lot. Thank you, Chuck.
If not a good martini afterwards.
That I believe that's required. Thank you, Chuck. Hold on the line, and Craig will get your information. So there you go.
The only exercising you'll have to do at my show is laughing, which is exercise.
It is.
It is great for the abs.
Not only that, but it's also great neurologically. It's also very good for your, any sort of situation you're in. It alleviates any depression. Any anxiety that you have.
It does.
I'm not accusing anybody of being.
It tightens your face muscles. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Gives you these nice
and
laugh lines.
And releases all the.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Endorphins.
Yeah. Yeah.
Makes you feel good.
Laughter's
it does.
Great.
Makes you feel. This week we need to feel good. I don't know if anybody saw. Let's go ahead and do a little bit of what's going on in the news since I have you all in studio. And Sergeant, if you don't want to jump in politically, you don't have to. I don't want. And neither does Cindy or Chris or Andy. Or Sarah.
Just me. Just you pick.
Me and Craig. Me and Craig will. Or Sandra Bernhardt. Or Sarah Barnhart. Last night, Donald Trump gave his speech in Nevada after winning the delegates in the caucus there. And he said that he was very grateful for the poorly educated, because he
that
did very well.
That was awful.
But it got a woo, Cindy. It got a woo.
I understand
it got a
because
woo.
It's the poorly
woo.
Educated people wooing. When he said that, I thought, nobody's offended by this?
But here's the thing, is that for years, right, there's been the claim of liberal elites, right? They think they're smarter than everybody else. So, Trump is just saying the opposite. I don't. So
well, Trump knows he's not smarter than everybody else.
I don't.
I truly believe that he knows he's not a smart man.
I don't know the level of success that he's achieved in this
success.
Campus.
Yes,
Cindy, I have really bad news for you.
No.
I texted Craig earlier today.
Yeah,
Craig, do you want to tell people what I texted you?
I do not want to
tell people what I texted you.
I don't want to.
Yep. Because what have I said from the very beginning? Okay. Do not take this candidacy lightly.
No, I agree.
Take it lightly at your peril. Mm-hmm. Is all I'm saying.
Not only is Donald Trump going to be the GOP nominee, if the party doesn't broker a delegate deal, he will be our next president.
And I think that
is from
is
Patty
Vasquez.
Cult of personality.
And this I agree, though. I agree with you.
This was at 3:14, and it woke me up from my midday nap. So I couldn't tell for a while if this was just a nightmare or if like I was really alive again.
Yeah. Yeah. And if they and here's the thing, and if they do broker a deal with the delegates, they will snap the party. They will shatter the GOP party. I mean, that then you have voters who are like, no, but I spoke. I went to the primaries. Only 1% of registered voters in Nevada showed up for the primaries. It was like 37,000 people out of, I believe, 2.9 million. And those are the people that spoke and gave their delegates for the state of Nevada to Trump, to Donald Trump. So we've said this on the show before. When there's a primary, it is important. It does matter because,
yeah,
you know, that's how you end up with your candidates on the ticket. I don't know what else to say to people. So. So many things. It just look at everyone's like, do you really?
Do you know what? We have talked about this amongst family and friends and comics and people. As a comic and in the comedy business, flipping love Trump. Like, it's hilarious. It was funny.
Oh, I don't.
There's... All of a sudden, over the past couple months, it's not funny anymore. Do you know what I mean?
I know, yeah. Like, it's kind of past that line a little bit.
We have a listener, I believe in Wisconsin. His name's Gary. He called in the other day, and he's a Vietnam veteran. And he wanted to know why. Why are people voting for Donald Trump? And one of his questions was, he never served. And that seems to be less of a question, I think, as we get farther and farther away from wars that were fought
right.
when the draft was in place, or at least when the draft was utilized, right? Now it's all an enlistment. It's a volunteer military that we have. So I don't know that we ask that of our public servants as much as we used to. I think that when you say that your representative, let's say Representative Kifowit, who was a Marine, Representative Harris, who was in the military for decades and has only recently retired, I think that's a stature that we appreciate, but it's not something we demand anymore of our leaders.
Since the president is the commander-in-chief, though, don't you think that maybe we should start looking for people that at least have some experience, you know, connected somehow to the military? Because Donald Trump specifically being in charge of our military is the scariest part of him being president.
I agree. There should be much stricter requirements.
Yeah.
To
considering he has said he will deploy the military to destroy ISIS, which, you know, and bombing people into submission, so many people have a problem with that. That's another avenue. Sarah's like, my show's at the Whip Theater.
No,
Saturday night Whip Theater.
I mean, it is Friday and Saturday at 8 o'clock.
Feel free to throw it at any time.
She's doing a lot of Trump material.
Actually, there is a Trump reference as a little child. And that she just realizes that Trump does not look like a very nice man.
Oh, very different from our Trumpeteers. Can you cue the Trumpeteers? I have this question for listeners. If you don't mind, if my guests don't mind, 312-981-7200. And this is actually different from our Trumpinions. If you voted for Governor Rauner, let me know how that's going for you. Is this what you had hoped for? Because he is holding the line when it comes to the turnaround agenda, to the reform agenda, when it comes to workman's comp and to unions. So is this what you would hope for, to hold the line when it comes to an agreement on the budget? Do you agree that the man you voted for is doing the job that you asked for? 312-981-7200. You can also text us. And I have a question for you about that. More after this on 720 WGN.
Are you serious? Apologies for freedom. I can't handle this. When freedom brings, answer the call. On your feet, stand up tall. Freedom's on our shoulders. USA! Enemies.
This week on Chicago's Best, Brittany and Elliot are cooking it up like Mama used to do. Join the search for the best comfort food, Chicago's Best, Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV. It's a sad fact. Nursing home negligence is a serious problem. Negligent care of elderly residents happens when nursing homes are understaffed. Nursing homes and negligence include medication errors, malnutrition and dehydration, falls, pressure sores, and failing to follow doctor's orders. If you suspect a loved one is a victim of negligence or abuse in a nursing home, call Konasek and Dillon. The law firm of Konasek and Dillon will advise and help your family through the painful ordeal of injuries or death caused by nursing home negligence. Konasek and Dillon understands that turning the care of a loved one over to a nursing home or professional caregiver is one of life's most difficult decisions. You deserve only the best care for your loved ones in return. Protect your loved ones. Call the law offices of Konasek and Dillon at 630-262-9655. Consultations are always free. Call Konasek and Dillon at 630-262-9655.
Music, come on, boys, take them down. President Donald Trump knows how to make America great. Deal from strength or get crushed every time.
So, speaking of little girls, have you heard this, Sarah Barnhart? This recording of these children singing over there, but it's a trumpeteer song to Donald Trump?
I believe I saw a little bit of video footage from this.
All right, then. You must know the song "Over There" by George M. Cohan, Sergeant Parekh. You don't know the actual song "Over There"? It's in a movie, but it was written during during World War I, obviously, as partly a Broadway song. But George M. Cohan was not able to serve in the military, and wrote this song to sort of be this. You know, he went over and he performed for the troops and had it as a, you know, rallying the troops, a boisterous, fun, great, patriotic song. And the Yanks are coming. But this song, as sung by these little girls, Trump is coming. And I don't doubt it for a moment. I have said from the very beginning of this candidacy, Sarah, that that he would not only go the distance, but he would be the GOP candidate. So there you go. Do we have any Trump, any opinions at all on the text? No one that voted for Rauner that wants to tell us how they think he's doing? Well, the reason I ask about Governor Rauner is because people were saying that he's a good businessman, he's a billionaire, he knows how to run a business. And the concern I have about that, so the reason I want to know is, you know, do you think he's doing a good job now? We've actually accumulated more debt because he's holding the line at breaking unions, whether it's through arbitrations and not wanting to withdraw some of those rights, making this a right to work state, workman's comp, which was actually legislation that was adjusted several years ago and has not been enforced across the board. So these are reforms that he has put forward that have to be agreed to by the Democrats in order for him to propose a budget. So we haven't gotten anywhere in a year. So I'm wondering, this is the exact same situation that I'm looking at when it comes to Donald Trump. People are saying, I'm frustrated. I don't like the way my government's being run now. I want this guy. He's not a lifelong politician. He's a great businessman. He can run our country. But it's not working in Illinois.
And hindsight's going to be 2020 is what you're saying.
But,
From the 779, we get a text, and this is as eloquent as we need tonight. He sucks.
You're right.
Okay, so speaking of hindsight, right? So, you know, when we make a mistake, do we also act accordingly afterwards? Do we go, oh, well, that was not a good choice? You know, I think that George Bush was reelected partly because we were in the middle of a battle. You don't change. I told my husband, I'm like, you don't change a general in the middle of a battle. This is the guy that has taken us here. This is where we are globally. This is the guy we stick with. It's not going to be John Kerry. It's going to be George Bush.
You know how when you start a new job, there's like that 90-day test period? We should do that with politicians and stuff. We should give them like month, 2 months.
But in hindsight, do people still think that George Bush was the right choice for 8 years? I don't know. That's a different question as far as reelecting him. I think that that was actually the right way to go. I think that you needed to. But, you know, I don't know that hindsight ever makes us make different choices. You know, will people, you know, regardless of which office it is that you've elected somebody, because we fight so hard beforehand and we dig in and we have these opinions and we call each other names. Do we ever admit we made a mistake?
We have too much pride.
I've said on the show several times, I voted for Blagojevich both times. Huge mistake. Huge. But I don't think there was anybody who was running opposed that was any better. I don't think they would have been that bad. But I think that voting for Blagojevich and letting him get to that high of an office was a huge mistake. Tom, what are your thoughts on Trump?
This is Tom.
I know. I've addressed you that way. Yes. Hello, Tom.
My thoughts are this.
Yes.
So far, we've done nothing but elected career politicians. Mm-hmm. That's what we've done for the past how many years?
Right.
We are nothing but in a hole at this point. Rauner?
You mean, yes, Rauner. You voted for Rauner?
No, I did not.
Okay.
But Rauner has a sense, a business sense. All he's trying to do is fix the corruption and all the mishandlings of our business. And there's such a mess that he's at the point where he almost can't straighten it out.
Okay.
So the problem, it's just everything is so corrupt. Everything is so backwards.
That's actually another question I had. So we've elected Governor Rauner. You have not voted for him. I did not vote for him. So a lot of people thought, well, here's a businessman. When he comes into office, he can turn the state around. He knows how to, fix a spreadsheet. So, when we say that he hasn't done the job that we asked him to do, like I mentioned a moment ago, are we going to say, oh, this was a mistake? But government isn't a business. He's not there to, to make a profit. Businesses are to make a profit. He's not working. We spend money as a government. That's our job.
I understand your point 100%. However, government does not care what they spend or how they spend it.
Right.
So all it's doing is putting us behind the eight ball.
And making it worse.
Unless they just, change has to come.
So here's my question. Do we in hindsight say, if someone comes into office, it was already really bad. There was nothing they could do. It's not his fault. Because that seems to be what everyone's saying about Governor Rauner. It's not his fault. Madigan screwed it up, and Cullerton's been there for a long time. It's been 30 years. So then what's the point of having somebody who isn't able to work with that either?
Yeah, well,
it's somebody else's fault. If it's 30 years of it's too much of a mess.
Right, and also if it's the career politicians that are at fault here, and so we need change of some kind, does it matter what the change is? Are you just voting for Trump because he's different but not necessarily well-equipped for the job? Do we need someone
isn't that confusing?
That's going to be actually good at stuff or just whoever?
Well,
I'd like to nominate Patty.
She has been nominated before.
What we have been doing for the past how many years,
right.
It's not working.
Right.
Let's face it, it's just not working.
Okay.
So all we can do at this point, in my opinion, is to try something different. It's only a four-year term.
Exactly. You know? So, but with Illinois as the example, is that it's only a four-year term. We're 1 year in, right? And so the big part of the budget that we've dug a hole, it was $4 billion last year. A big chunk of that really came in 2006 and 2007 with Madigan and Blagojevich arriving at an agreement to fund Medicaid, to expand that, and to short the pensions by over $1 billion, right, for 2 years. So that started, that was a $2 billion snowball that has now come into this $4 billion. But with Governor Rauner in 1 year, that has actually escalated $2 billion in just 1 year because of this impasse. Because all the spending, all the money going out the door isn't regulated and isn't monitored the way it should be. Because it's all by lawsuits, because we tried something different.
Well, the career politicians don't want to play ball with him, because once they start getting things under control,
uh-huh.
their game is over.
Right. So
they don't have any. I'll bet you if Trump gets elected, half of the senators that have been around for 30 years and the congressmen that have been around, all these old-time politicians are all going to quit.
But,
because their game is going to be over.
I don't know if that's a good...
They're going to leave.
Well, and also,
why? That hasn't happened in the legislature of Illinois.
Yeah, that has not happened before. And Tom, it's a shame that the presidential race is the only one that a lot of people vote on, because there's a lot of other races where we could start trying out someone who maybe doesn't have the level of experience we want. This is the president of the United States position,
yeah,
and
maybe
we're going to give it to a guy who, hey, he says what he wants. He's, he's
yes,
different.
Maybe not a lifelong career politician.
Right.
Tries a
Senate job. Yeah, we could give somebody a small position in a, county clerk's office or something. Let's just go there. Let's build up. Let's not jump right away. Right?
We're just speculating.
I feel ashamed to say the last time I voted for president was Ross Perot.
Ooh, interesting. Okay. No, that's interesting because that was an interesting race. And so that was Clinton, George Bush Sr. and Ross Perot. And that third party candidacy did have an impact on that election, I think, to some extent.
I liked Ross Perot, too.
A lot of people like Ross Perot. That's an interesting. That's
Ross Perot was a businessman.
And I believe his vice president was a military man, wasn't he? He was actually a high ranking officer, if I recall correctly.
And yeah. And Ross Perot was a businessman, but he wasn't an arrogant. And I think that was, there's a huge difference between Trump and Ross Perot, obviously.
He was pretty arrogant. He was
out of line, isn't he?
He was, Perot was eccentric, I would say.
He was eccentric.
Wait, let me tell you something. Right. I'm sorry. Now
as
I'm just doing.
As opposed to the
yeah.
Well,
yeah. Okay. The blustering and the meanness. I mean, Tom, when.
Well, it seems like a student council election, a high school student council election.
Interesting.
Or a fraternity election. Like, everybody is mean. And, well, you said that. I didn't say that. You said that.
Out of all the options that we have,
you're right.
Where would you find the most sense and the most loyalty and the most honesty? In what candidate would you find that you truly believe this person is looking out for the United States?
I truly believe that the people that are looking out for the United States are the people that aren't really in the, what I call, infighting, the student council high school stuff.
Tom brings up a good point. Tom brings up a good point, and this has been my point the entire time. I got nobody. I don't like anybody that's running. I don't like a single one of them. But it ain't going to be Trump.
Well, it's the lesser of the evils.
I like Kasich. If I was going to go on the GOP side, I would say Kasich would be probably closer to the top of my list. On the other side, I would probably and my son hates this, probably Bernie Sanders.
I like Bernie Sanders too. Yeah.
But yeah. So those were my two.
He's the lesser of the evils, I think.
Those are the two that I would see. You know, with experience, with what they aspire to, at least what they're telling us. I don't know how Bernie Sanders would pay for most of that stuff.
And Kasich,
by the way, Kasich just lost me altogether with defunding Planned Parenthood and cutting off federal funding in the state of Ohio. So that's a foregone conclusion for me. So I wouldn't, and he doesn't have a chance. But sorry, go ahead, Tom.
It seems as though at this stage we have no other option
than Trump. Let's keep the lines of communication open there, Tom.
It's a 4-year term. It's a 4-year term.
Tom, there's a lot of damage that can be done in 4 years.
Let me do this. Tom, let me just, and you know that I've been going to Springfield, and I've had friends tell me this, that it's, you know, Governor Rauner's just there for 4 years. Tom, there are people who are suffering significantly, and I know that it seems like for most people, well, I can hold on for 4 years. There are senior citizens, there are veterans, there are the disabled who cannot hold on, and losing hope is a very precarious situation to be in. And I don't think that we can take this lightly. I know when people say it's just 4 years, many more lives will be lost in ways that we will never know about quietly. And there will be public ways. Look, there was a mom who just threw her autistic son off a bridge, and she'll be sentenced to a life sentence, right, because she already pleaded guilty. And it's situations like that all over the country. You'll find people who either hurt themselves or hurt the people in their lives because programs were cut off from them. There's a family who have a child in Wisconsin. He will be sent home. They've told him that they can no longer take care of him in Wisconsin because Illinois is not paying the bill, because Illinois does not have group homes that are appropriate
for him. Young lady, these problems have been around for years and years and years.
Tom, because I have a son with a disability, I feel this immediately. No, I feel them immediately.
So do I. My mom's 102. My sister's son has Huntington's chorea.
So when you say it's just four years, you know that it's so much more than that. And our men and women in uniform, when we say we're just going to go and you know, remotely drop bombs on people, it's so much more than just another 4 years.
Well, and I never have anyone that really, like, undermines the position of President of the United States. It's that you still get that title for, I don't care how many years.
Yeah. Tom. And I'm so sorry to hear about your sister and badass mom, by the way, at 102. How cool is that?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Tough old Italian lady, I'll tell you that.
There you go. I know these problems have been around, but...
I heard on your radio station earlier in the week that 78% of the people in politics, especially the ones that have been surrounding Obama, have never held a job other than politics. 78%.
Interesting.
It's huge. It's huge.
Well, because they studied poli sci, they went into strategy, they went into that kind of area. Interesting. I had not heard that one. I will take a look at that. I have to go to the news. Tom, I thank you so much for voicing your thoughts, and always great to hear from everybody. Have a great night.
Thanks, Tom.
And again, your mom's a badass. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I am joined by Sergeant Perica from the U.S. Marine Corps. Just showed me a lovely photo of his family. Really adorable. So cute. And what's your son's name?
Nathan.
And Nathan, and your wife is Ashley?
Ashley.
Yeah.
Yes.
Really beautiful family.
Thank you.
Cindy, your family is beautiful as well. I've known them since they were children, your kids. They're awesome. And Chris? I've never met anybody in your family. I feel like I should at some point.
I'll show you
I'm
picture.
Sure that's
any pictures?
Though.
Sarah Barnhart, where are you from originally? I've asked before, I know.
North Carolina.
That's right. Does your family ever visit?
As a matter of fact, my dad is in my apartment right now.
Do you talk politics with dad?
My family doesn't really talk politics.
Mine either. Oh, wait. Oh, yes, we do. This is my family, my WGN family. Jill wanted to join the conversation. We were talking a little bit about Trump. What do you think, Jill?
Yes. Well, I work in a hospital where I draw blood, and I'd say between nine out of 10 of the rooms I go in, the people are watching all the Maury's and all the different shows with all the screaming and yelling.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they watch Trump and it's screaming and yelling, and they think, well, he's on TV. He's famous. I'll vote for him. And even if you try to talk to people about more substantive things.
Right.
They want to talk about Kim and Kanye, or they want to talk, they fade off. And I'm wondering if just like kind of bread and circuses, you know,
right,
that they don't want to do the hard work of really understanding what's going on.
That's a really good point. They see somebody that they know and they recognize, and we're attracted to things that are familiar to us.
Well, and also when we watch shows that have a lot of anger, you know, we yell at people. We want to feel bigger, right? That's why I watch Hoarders, so I don't feel as sloppy. I have clutter, but I don't hoard, you know? So I think people watch shows like Jerry Springer and Maury Povich and go, well, at least I'm not that messed up, right? And when Trump was doing his The Apprentice, it was kind of fun to watch people trying to scramble for jobs and be mean to each other. You have a point, Jill. There are things that we are drawn to, whether it's in media. By the way, Jill, what do you think about this? And I don't, this wasn't what you called about. Many times the media is accused of being a liberal bias. But now they're saying the media is covering Trump and that's why he's winning. So I'm confused as to what the media's role is. Do you have a thought on that?
Well, I think it's easy to go to what's shiny and, mm-hmm. you know, more sexy. But what I'd like to see, I want to know more about these people. I know pretty much about Hillary because she's been around and we've seen it. But I'd like to know a little more about Bernie Sanders. I'd like to see more biographies of him.
I agree.
Tell me more about him. It's like they want to turn someone into like a little symbol, you know, like a little meme.
Right, and everybody's kind of like reduced to sound bites. And right now, even though the sound bites of Trump is reduced to, for me, I'm like, what? When he says, I love the poorly educated. I won big, huge with the poorly educated. And that resounds.
That's sad to me.
That falls hard on my ears. And for other people, they're like, yeah, it's our turn, I guess. Being educated isn't, is that a bad thing, is being educated? I know, Sergeant Perry, you're not, can I say that you're shaking your head that being educated is not a bad thing? It seems to be in this election. I'm not sure. Jill, I thank you so much. Do you work, what department do you nurse in? Is it like a emergent care or?
It's a big hospital on the lakefront in Milwaukee, St. Mary's, Milwaukee.
Oh.
They specialize, there's a big burn unit, we have rehab. It's quite a big place, beautiful place.
Well, Jill, you sound like the kind of nurse that I wish whenever I have to be in an emergency, that I hope it's someone like you, because so many nurses really make the big difference between, you know, a positive outcome and not.
Right.
So thank you.
You need someone caring.
Exactly. And somebody who gets it. That's all. That's what we need. And there are so many nurses that do, and so many people that don't realize that you're the one that stands in between life and death. I'm just saying. I'm not trying to get all dramatic and stuff, but I appreciate what you do.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great night. Yeah, absolutely. So there you go. I was wondering about that because in the previous elections, there was this like the liberal elite, the intellectual elite, and the liberal media. But now it's like, no, the media is covering Trump and it's their fault. So I don't know. I'm not sure what's changed. Just that you're like, it's a bright, shiny thing.
Well, and I agree. Yeah, it's bright, shiny. He's absolutely marketing to a different group of people.
Yeah.
Than mm-hmm. most presidential candidates.
I'm trying to find the numbers for Nevada, but I know that the turnout was disappointing. Yes, Craig?
Well, no, I'm just thinking of a statistic that I think a lot of us saw today. 20% of Trump supporters do not support the freeing of the slaves. So that's always, you know, kind of nice. No Patty is. Vegan expression. Yeah, that's a stat that came out today. 20%
do they
of
know
Trump
that,
supporters.
Do they know that slavery ended?
Yeah.
That that's not
they,
a choice
they're
anymore?
Aware of it.
They don't
that's
agree
a,
with that.
That
they
option's
don't agree
not,
with it. They're
that option's,
not happy about it.
That option's not on the table.
They're not really thrilled with that. So he is definitely marketing to a different group of people.
Yeah. Did you see
that? Do they want to be our slaves now?
I don't know.
Oh.
Let's check into that.
Different kind of slavery. There were also Trump supporters that showed up in their Klan robes in Nevada. So
oh,
that was,
my gosh.
I mean, like, if you're going to wear your dressy outfit, I guess that's when you do it. Just saying.
Can I also say, I just don't like how he speaks about other countries and things.
Right.
Just because when you're president, you have to talk to all these people face to face, and if they hate you, how are you going to deal with them?
Well, you have to be diplomatic.
Exactly, and I don't think
to,
he is.
No,
he has
absolutely
been.
Is not. I think he's gotten the notoriety he has, and he's gotten the popularity he has by just sort of shock value. And the leader of the free world can't be like that. You just can't.
Well, but not just shock value, but people say that he says the things they wish they could, which makes me very sad that they want to say those things.
Well, there's a big difference between a politician and a leader and a statesman.
Right, but it doesn't seem to make a difference to a lot of people. Let me ask you this. Who do you think I'm reading this about? My fellow citizens, the rise of this blusterous man bewilders the educated among us, conjoins opposing politicians, agonizes our international allies, threatens minorities, spits on the disabled, and touches the hearts of those who just don't know any better. Let us stop propounding how mad this all is, but instead do something. Who is that being said about? And I hate making this comparison.
Who was your son's favorite politician?
This is in reference to Hitler.
Oh.
This was said in 1929 by Lislet Hubner in Germany, ahead of the rise of Hitler.
That doesn't surprise me.
So, but Craig, I've said in the show, I hate making Hitler references, but the sort of madness, the blinders that are people are like, no, this is the guy who's going to be different.
I don't know what's been going on for the last couple months, but Hitler's come up a lot on the show. I don't know where that's coming from.
I find it disappointing.
I blame Trump.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah.
Well, when you say I love the poorly educated, and people go, woo!
Yeah, he likes me.
Well, you know who says that? The poorly... Woo!
But I...
Right. Nobody listens to us, and this guy is.
Why would owning that be something that you would aspire to?
I kind of feel like maybe they don't aspire to it, but whenever...
They accept it?
Well, okay, so poor people are frustrated with the wealthy and would probably... love to see the wealthy go down. So in this case,
but he is the wealthy.
But the thing is, he exemplifies.
Cindy's hitting things,
but right.
Well, really, Trump like exemplifies.
Well, no,
the
what
fat
I'm saying
cat.
Is, so then the uneducated want to see the educated go down.
Right. So he seems uneducated, but wealthy.
No,
he
not
is.
That he seems uneducated, but that he is that he
speaking
is
to them.
Speaking to them.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Oh, here we go. So I want to see, because I am curious about this. I try to dissuade me, but I think that he can. Ray, what do you think? Can Trump win?
Patty, I don't in the end. I don't think he's electable in November. And
okay.
There were some very, very interesting statistics. They were in the New York Times. They were in a political journal in the last 2 weeks.
Okay.
The 30% he's been consistently polling to win the caucus and to win the primary translates to less than 8% of the total vote expected to be cast in November, which I think it's going to definitely play into the way things work out. Is he going to be the Republican nominee? I would think almost definitely. His appeal seems to be, and I'm not using this with any sense of racism, his appeal seems to be to the angry element of the white working class.
Right. I agree.
This is a group, and again, I'm quoting some statistics, This is a group, basically, household incomes below $40,000, predominantly male. As soon as you get to college-educated households over $75,000, you start getting away from Trump. You start going much closer to Hillary, to Bernie Sanders, etc. I think the most fascinating thing, and I'm going to predate probably everybody in the studio right now, Theodore White wrote the book Making of the President 1960. The significance of that was the first time television had truly been married to the American electoral presidential process. John Kennedy was elected for a number of reasons.
Yes.
One was his masterful use of television.
Yeah, and that unfortunate debate that he and Nixon had right here in Chicago, I believe, on CBS.
You're correct. They debated four times. The first one was here on McClurg Court. That's the one where Nixon had been suffering from the bad knee, mm-hmm. had elected to stay on the campaign trail, not rest, come into Chicago unrested. Kennedy had taken a portion of the day before off.
Right. He had rested. And I think that Nixon also refused makeup.
You're correct. But people...
Which sounds... I mean, you can see where a guy wouldn't want to and not get it. Kennedy got the imagery. Yes.
Probably. The point I'm going to make in as few words as possible, going from there to Donald Trump. Kennedy, masterful television. 4 years later, California elects a former grade B actor, George Murphy, as senator. He beat Pierre Salinger. 2 years later, they elect the fading actor Ronald Reagan as governor.
Right.
And 14 years later, Ronald Reagan is president. It only makes sense that a current contemporary genre of television, in this case reality shows, might produce somebody if they had proper resources, primarily financial. Suddenly, we do have Donald Trump center stage. It is marvelous political theater to watch the specter of his potential being American president. I personally find quite frightening, because it's one thing to have attributes that can be electable at a point in time. It's another thing to suddenly be in that office.
Right.
And to assume that individual has the ability to reason through crises, both domestic and foreign, in a way that would serve our country best.
So what seems to be happening right now with the folks that are turning out for Trump, they're operating on an emotional level of where's mine, or I feel disenfranchised, and no one's listening to me. This guy speaks to what I believe in.
Patty, I agree right. with 85% of what you said.
What's another 15? Tell me.
The only 15 I would add on, with all due respect.
Oh, I feel respected. I do. Thank you.
Thank you. The only thing I would add on is, number one, Americans, and because of American exceptionalism, we believe we are the greatest country on earth. We want to hear that. We want to hear the songs. I think you made a reference to George M. Cohen a little bit before.
I did.
We want to see all the symbols. We are the greatest country on earth. We have an individual, Donald Trump, who has more money than 99.9% of the people on the planet. He has entered this campaign speaking with certainty, whether he's right or wrong. For instance, the comment about no Muslims in the United States.
Right.
Why in the name of whomever would you go out of your way to alienate the most populous religion on the planet and ones that don't forget? And this is one of the reasons when George Jr. took us into Iraq and into Afghanistan. Those people don't forget. As Phil Jackson used to make the analogy, when you drop a pebble in a pond, that pond then resonates with expanding circles. And I think this is one thing we did in the Mideast. I think ultimately we have no idea what consequences we might ultimately realize from what occurred there. But we have a Donald Trump who, in a very uncertain age for most middle-class Americans, such as myself and I assume most of you,
mm-hmm.
we live in a very uncertain age. This man has had license now for approximately 5 months center stage to speak with tremendous certainty. It only makes sense that there would be a segment of America, and especially, as you just used a great word, a disenfranchised segment, who would find his certainty quite compelling. That's why I think he's where he is now. I think he is a nightmare to the short and interim direction of the Republican Party. And I think his nomination would be a a death sentence.
Yeah, well, I agree.
You know, Patty, real quick, I agree with 98.7% of what Ray said.
Ray, what would you say to someone like our listener Tom earlier who said, well, it's just 4 years. How bad could it get? I mean, like, let's give it a shot. Because I'm concerned about that attitude, if that's what people are thinking, too.
Patty, I think that's a marvelous question. I wish I were fully equipped to answer it. Here would be my mini answer to the whole thing. We have a tendency, much too much as Americans, to slough off things, thinking it can't happen here, it won't happen to us. We have learned from our mistakes. I am in my late 50s. I lived through the end of Vietnam. By the time Vietnam was over, our great national nightmare, as a politician famously said after we left, I never in my wildest dreams thought my generation would allow us to engage in that sort of pointless military adventurism. And then what happened in the wake of 9/11?
Right.
So it's a most fascinating year in politics. I think Hillary versus Trump would be like Ali versus Frazier in Manila.
Oh, I don't know. I see that not going well. I just think the hatred for Hillary Clinton is so deep and so severe that I don't look forward to that face-off. I just don't. I don't think it goes well. For anybody, actually.
Patty, based on what you just said, may I ask you a question that is gender-centric coming from me?
Yes.
So, and please, let me preface it by saying that. What you just said about Hillary is fascinating, yet the way she handled her husband's quite public indiscretions, mm-hmm. I found not only fascinating, I found facile to a transcendent genius level. How did the woman maintain her dignity through that segment?
The way I thought of it, and I was really young. I was, you know, grade school. Let's go with grade school. No, I was younger. The way I looked at it was a woman who saw the bigger picture, who saw that this was her, that they were each other's greatest assets. That's the way I saw that relationship, and I continued to see it. That, you know, whatever indiscretions they may have, whether it's, you know, the way she operates or his infidelities, I think that they have decided that they are the best partners for each other, whether it's emotional, professional, political, that they have decided that was the best arrangement.
And let me ask you this.
Which sounds calculating, and that's why I'm not a...
No, go ahead.
No, it just sounds... It also makes her, both of them, very calculating, which you have to be as a political figure. But right. Go ahead. One more thing, and then we have to go to a break.
Thank you. But if she is that calculating, isn't she capable right now? This is her one time to become the first woman president. Isn't she calculating enough to anticipate almost anything Donald Trump could do in the August to November sequence?
This is the argument my husband threw at me.
I think she is, and it I is. Think she has.
There you go.
I agree.
I think it's an excellent point, and Cindy agrees with you. Ray, thank you so much. Excellent phone call, and we look forward to hearing from you again. Please.
Patty, thank you, and very continued success on all your endeavors.
I appreciate that. Thank you. I'll be at boot camp next week, so we'll see how that goes. More after this on 720, of course. Thank you, Ray. More after this.